the Ulysses, man's greatest achievement. A ship capable of traveling to distant galaxies. But a freak accident leaves the ship helpless. Its AI, damaged, dangerous, plays a deadly game with the two surviving members of the crew. If they indulge the machine's newfound passion for science fiction and fantasy trivia, it will permit limited access to the astrogation matrix and star drive. For astronauts Clive Ashenden and Rob Wickens, the choice is clear. If they ever want to see Earth again, they must define the A to Z of SFF.
A is for Avengers, the Marvel Comics. Continue.
Marvel Comics Avengers. Well, blimey, we are moving on from what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, aren't we?
The Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Rob.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Clive. Yes, absolutely. The A-team of the Marvel Comics universe, effectively, is what we're talking about here. The Avengers first started back in the early 60s. And
it was the issue one appeared September, dated, cover dated September
1963. So we're in that incredible period of creativity where Marvel Comics seem to be basically throwing out something new, exciting and wonderful pretty much every month.
Well, this is it. I mean, 1963 alone, you have the debut of The Amazing Spider-Man, number one, created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Mm-hmm. In May, you get Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos, which is where we first get Nick Fury from.
Indeed.
Which is Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Then September, we get an amazing two-for-one. We get the debut of the Avengers, and also the debut of the Uncanny X-Men.
In 1 month.
Yes, and both those books are co-created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Jeez, that is one hell of a couple of months worth of output there.
This, and you've got to think at this time, you know, Lee is also writer editor on, you know, his the regular books that have already been going for a few years, like Fantastic Four and Hulk. So, you know, they're not just sort of this isn't off their bottom rung here. You know, these are characters that have lasted through, you know, well, several hundreds of years now into the distant future.
They're into their third millennia, third century. Excuse me. They're not.
And obviously, you know, they've died, been reborn, changed sex. They've gone through all kinds of iterations, and yet we keep coming back to those characters.
We do. So, effectively, let's consider the Avengers as. They're almost like a sort of showcase of the best and brightest of the Marvel Universe that get together for the most, how would you say, the most egregious threats against mankind. It's basically when there's a threat that's too much for one hero, you get the big guys in. And these are the big guns, aren't they?
They are. I mean, it's interesting. I think that initially the Avengers gets formed as kind of the Marvel answer to DC's Justice League of America. And I think it probably takes a few years, probably until we're out of the Silver Age, out of the 60s, where the Avengers really finds its sort of niche as this sort of galactic book, where the Avengers are the Earth's team fighting these galactic threats to Earth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the period when I really enjoyed the Avengers the most. I guess that was the Avengers I grew up with. But it's this whole notion of it being the sort of tying into the whole cosmic Marvel thing, which has always been my favourite anyway. You know, the whole notion of the Krees and the Skrulls and the wacky interplanetary stuff is what I think Marvel actually does best. Yeah, a lot of people think of it in terms of gritty realism, which is kind of like, ha-ha, really? Gritty realism? Superhero books? Don't think so. But, to my mind, they're at their best when they're going all-out cosmiche.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one element of it. Obviously, the thing that sort of, at the time of the Avengers sort of creation, that sort of was really differentiating Marvel from what DC was doing, from what other publishers were doing, was that sort of giving the sort of human alter egos like real backstories, real human problems that the readers could relate to. I think, you know, the Avengers, even when they are fighting Kang the Conqueror or Ultron or Immortus, they never lose that group dynamic.
It's interesting when you're talking about team dynamics, because obviously when we were discussing way back when, about 20 episodes ago, the Marvel film,
several hundred light years ago, yeah,
that too, yeah, you remember those? I mean, it seems like an awfully long time ago now, but yeah, the whole notion of the team dynamic, we kind of tagged it as a thing that Joss Whedon does very, very well, but that thing's always been in there, and the whole notion of this team of the best and the mightiest working together so simply and so easily is part of what makes the Avengers especially so
well
good.
Not always so simply and so easily, is it? You know, because you've got a lot of big egos in there, haven't you?
Well, exactly.
And so let's maybe just sort of touch on some of the sort of core members here. I mean, the original founding members of the Avengers, so we get in issue one,
storming out of the front cover, you know, in this,
yes,
fantastic...
Iron Man, the Hulk, Thor, Ant-Man, and the Wasp. And as part of the ongoing tradition of the roster ever changing, that lineup doesn't last two issues, because the Hulk has sort of stormed off in a huff by the end of issue two, and Ant-Man has in one of his many different costume changes has changed into Giant Man.
Well, there we go. I mean, that's the joy of Henry Pym in a way. And again, I think we sort of touched briefly on when we were talking about Age of Ultron about the mercurial and, well, frankly, unstable Henry Pym, and the fact that he's almost as much of a he causes as much trouble to the Avengers as he does as a team member.
He does, and there have been some there are some key Avengers plot lines which involve his instability, particularly when he's in the Yellow Jacket identity, which is almost like a split personality identity, which is different from his normal personality. And, you know, he's and sort of around sort of, I think, around the sort of 1980 period, that sort of late Bronze Age, then he really starts to sort of fracture. And then to the point where you actually get a domestic abuse subplot with him and the Wasp.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You know, there's... lap that was heard around the world.
An extraordinary moment, which I'm immediately going to tag as my favourite Avengers moment, just purely because it is so starkly different to the sort of thing you'd expect from a superhero.
I'm glad you said that, and not because you're a big fan of domestic abuse.
I am very far away from being a fan of domestic abuse, thank you very much. But, yeah, what an extraordinary moment. And it was interesting when the Avengers got rebooted as the Ultimates by Mark Miller back in the early 2000s.
That's the Marvel Ultimate Universe version of the Avengers, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
There have been many, many different sort of iterations of the Avengers, but you know, ultimately the core book has kind of always stayed there, albeit under different names. The Mighty Avengers at some point, you know, we've obviously had the West Coast Avengers, the Secret Avengers, Avengers World.
Uncanny Avengers is going on at the moment. We're now at the point where you're seeing a ton of different Avengers going on
at the moment. So you're reading a lot of sort of 2010s books, are you?
I am, Rob? yeah. That whole sort of that real golden period of 2010 through to the sort of 2030s before, you know, it all started going really just strange and twisted and ugly.
Ah, yes, when everyone was a Skrull.
Yes, we've been there before as well, haven't we?
We have. We certainly have. Going back to the idea of the key members, issue four, we have Captain America discovered trapped in ice, and this I think is the sort of the moment where the Avengers almost become the Avengers, because you've got this Golden Age hero created by Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, way back in the 1940s, and this idea of bringing back this kind of almost propaganda comics hero to be like the figurehead of the Avengers, I think, is really key. And what they actually do, they change his character. You know, they make him this man out of time.
Yeah,
and I think that's and then therefore you always associate, well, at least I do in my mind, the Avengers with this sort of big three characters: Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. And they're not always in the book, always at the same time. But usually there's at least one of them in the roster, unless there have been various times where editorially, the editorial overseers decide that they don't want those big characters in the book, because there's some continuity thing going on, or they just decide that that's how they want to roll that way. So, you know, we get things like the Dr. Druid years, which I actually rather enjoy, you know, where it's Dr. Drew, She-Hulk, Black Knight, and so on. But really, when those three guys are in there, it really feels like the Avengers to me.
Yeah, no, that those are always the Avengers of the stuff that kind of makes sense, that kind of resonates back through time. You know, that's your Secret Wars Avengers, that's your Civil War Avengers. It's the big moments is when the big guys actually pitch back up again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's not to sort of knock the contribution from, I guess, lesser powered Avengers, who often they bring their own kind of personality dynamics to the mix. I've always enjoyed the Beast as an Avenger, who always brought humour and intelligence, and made for a sort of wonderful kind of light comic presence. And also and Hawkeye, I always enjoyed Hawkeye as being the guy who always feels like he's trying to always live up to Captain America's example, but failing whenever any opportunity. So, which is why it was rather nice when he got to lead the West Coast Avengers and got his moment, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of ties into the brilliant reimagining of Hawkeye in Matt Fraction and David Arger's just finished series, where even though he was kind of, you know, he was seen as slightly bumbling, he was still the guy with the most heart and the guy that was still kind of the core to a certain extent of certain iterations of the Avengers.
Yeah, I think so. Even though he was whichever era of Avengers you're reading, he always seems to be on the verge of walking out in a huff or having fights with people, or he's also, you know, changed costumes, changed costume identities, not quite as much as Hank Pym, but a few times he's been Goliath. He's had some unfortunate looking uniforms, shall we say.
Absolutely.
The headband and kilt era was not the best era for him, but and hey, his classic costume is a bit you have to be a confident man to put off that amount of garish purple, really, don't you? I think
Prince manages quite well.
He is a confident man.
He is a confident man, and that's the main thing. I think in summation, we can consider the Avengers in the Marvel's comics universe to basically be a chance to get interesting characters together under a kind of banner of Earth's Mightiest Heroes and sort of explore dynamics in different ways.
In some ways they get eclipsed as the sort of Marvel's premier team by the X-Men later on, but really, you know, they are the sort of I guess, you know, the sort of flag, the establishment team, and they do go after the sort of galactic foes, whereas the X-Men have always been more kind of the outsiders.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not to say that you don't see X-Men in the Avengers, because you do. I mean, you've already mentioned.
Well, there's been various X-Men versus Avengers sort of battles. And obviously, there've been many mutants who've been key Avengers, like the Beast, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver, just to name a few.
Yeah, Wolverine seems to be popping in and out more regularly as part of the team over the past.
Yeah, I mean, if it's something that slightly devalues the Avengers for me, it's the fact that it seemed to be quite difficult to get on the Avengers team for the longest time, and then suddenly everyone's been an Avenger or an associate Avenger. So if everyone is special, then suddenly is anyone special after all? But ultimately, when it comes down to it, I'd say seek out, you know, stuff like the Kree Skrull War, the Korvac Saga. It's brilliant stuff.
Absolutely right. So what do you say then, Cyclomedia? Is that sufficient for the vast and epic Marvel comic universe version of the Avengers?
Input mighty.
I like the way you're going with that. Outstanding. Okay, Clive, fire it up. Let's scoot off and hopefully not hit the Kree galaxy.
Yeah, keying it in now. We might have to go via scroll, but here we go. 3, 2, 1.
The A to Z of SFF was written and performed by Rob Wickings and Clive Ashenden. The show was produced and edited by Rob Wickings at All Hallows Post of Reading, the finest sound available anywhere. Would you like to know more? Go to www.theatozofsff.com. Like us on Facebook as The A to Z of SFF, or follow us on Twitter at The A to Z of SFF.